kung fu kick you in the dick. Old man Wade ain't nothing to fuck with. Old man Wade might stomp a cunt quick. Don't call old man Wade a punk bitch, cause he'll kung fu kick you in the dick.
Congratulations, old man Wade, for you are victorious by way of swift kick to the dick.
Say that again, please.
So I have my camera on blurry, but that big black mass right behind me, that is my hermaphrodite Revan. He was born with a penis and one testicle, one ovary, and half a uterus.
What the fuck? Can he have a baby?
No, he was sterile. But we take him in. Like, I never had a cat before or anything like that. I got him from my husband because my husband's cat had just died. His cat back home had just died. So we go to give him fix, and they go to neuter him, which is what you do to a boy cat. Yeah. And they say, you know what? He only has the one testicle, so we need to go into his body so that we can find the other testicle so he doesn't get cancer later. We're like, okay, fine. Take out the other testicle. It hasn't dropped yet. They go in, and like hours go by, and they haven't called me. So I call the vet, and I'm like, I haven't heard back from Revan yet. What's going on? And the girl goes, Dr. Kate will call you in a minute. Bye. And so she just hangs up on me, and I'm at work, and I'm freaking out. I'm like, my cat's dead. They're not telling me whatever. So Dr. Kate, who I'll never forget, calls me up again, and she goes, Charmaine, I'm just going to blurt out what's going on, and then we'll talk about it. But it's fine. Revan's alive. Everything's fine. It's okay. She's like, you know how we were trying to neuter Revan? I was like, yeah. She goes, well, and then basically said that they were looking for the other testicle, couldn't find the other testicle, but saw something very familiar, but they couldn't figure out what it was they were looking at because they were thinking boy cat, boy cat, boy cat. What they were looking at was an ovary. it was just floating by itself, like in the body. It just wasn't attached to anything. So he's considered mostly male because he has a penis and he had more testosterone than he did estrogen. And then the black and white blob behind him is Kreia. And if you're a Star Wars fan, you will note these names. Kreia is a.k.a. Darth Treya. She's the one who wanted to kill the Force. There is no more evil than someone who wants to kill the Force. That's Kreia behind. And then the little gray blob, which you also can't see that's behind that, is Krayt. If you are a Star Wars fan, you will also note Krayt is very significant as well.
Darth Krayt.
Yep, Darth Krayt. So we got Darth Revan, Darth Krayt, Darth Kreia, and then Rain is in the other room with my husband, a.k.a. Darth Zanna.
I can't.
So very recently, I kind of explained the difference between legacy Star Wars and how Disney kind of changed that a bit. So you got a couple of Star Wars experts on the line with you.
Excellent. Yeah, so Revan, what was cool about Revan's name was that we named him Revan before we knew he was a hermaphrodite. And if you remember KOTOR, you got to pick the gender of Revan in gameplay. So it was that was before they wrote the book, before they canoned Revan as a male Caucasian, a humanoid or whatever. Hold on.
You're trying to tell me that Star Wars made a character male and white.
I know. It's such a shock. Well,
until the prequels, I mean, there was only, what, like two black people in all of the galaxy?
And three women. All right.
Yeah.
So this is the Old Man Wade Show. I am your host, the God of Stubborn. The Lord of Laughter. The burping Old Man Wade.
Burping and wrestling, all kinds of shit going on.
Old man Wade, I'm sitting here with my lovely life.
Hey.
With her normal enthusiasm, as always. In front of me have the pinnacle of political perfection. Super Bowl.
Yo, yo.
Super Bowl Dr. Freeze.
Who got checked?
Dog, Brandon, I'm recording.
What?
I'm recording, man. What
you are
fuck?
Making all kind of racket, and he started the show.
What kind of chips
you got? I didn't even know I was making noise.
What kind of chips
you got? My bad.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Old Man Wade Show. I kind of feel like the last episode in this one is really going to be the one that are going to be the ones that take off. I really do. I feel like these are the two that are going to take off.
What are you talking about? All the episodes take off. You talking about old man? Get out of here with all that.
Yeah, okay. I average about 30 listeners and 15 of them don't listen. So I introduced Charmaine first, so I'll do Brandon this time. Tell everyone who you are, B.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, this is Brandon from the Watch the Series podcast. Also did a podcast, Old Man Wade. But we still do it. We just got to do it more often. Comic Book 101. It's kind of merged together now, though, into one show. But we talk comics. On the other show, we talk movies and entertainment and random nonsense. And, what the hell happened? And
you can find me on Twitter. I'm sorry.
Black nerd. Yeah, Twitter. I got to talk close because I got the direct mic and not the condenser mic now.
We can hear you, though. You get so loud when you get on top of that mic. Like,
I love that. I love that Steve Owen cat his beer can.
Oh, my God.
This is wonderful. My energy's back up. Thank you.
Oh, God. Oh, man. And,
Red is like, I can't.
Oh, God. Terrible. I was in a shit mood. I'm glad I did this.
Terrible people.
Oh, God. And that voice you hear, the giggle that you hear. Can you give me the hee
Oh, you mean my Japanese laugh?
Yeah.
Hold on. I can't do it under pressure.
Oh, that giggle you hear is Charmaine, Miss Maine, if you're nasty. Tell
everyone
where they can find you.
My name is Charmaine, a.k.a. Mixed Girl Maine, host of Militantly Mixed and Blurred Comics. And you can also call me, if we're going Japanese on this episode, then watashi wa yonbonichi nihonjin
desu. Well, that's some bullshit.
Hold on, what did you just say?
Right?
I just said, I am a quarter Japanese. I can do it for all my races. Watashi wa yonbon ichi nihonjin desu. Yonbon ichi kokujin desu. Hanbon hakujin desu.
I just said this wrestler, Shelton Benjamin, one of my favorite wrestlers. He's black. Brandon knows him. He was on Chris Jericho's podcast, and for those who read comic books, you'll hear Wolverine referred to as Gaijin a lot, which is white American.
And, no, Gaijin is honky.
Oh, so he was saying how when Shelton Benjamin was
specific.
Saying Shelton Benjamin was saying when he was in Japan, he was called Kokujin, and I could not stop laughing at
that. So Kokujin is the actual word for black. It does not, it's just coincidence. It's K-O-K-O, it's not C-O-C-O. It's just a coincidence, but Kokujin is black. Hakujin is white. Gaijin is foreigner or honky or white foreigner, and Nihonjin is Japanese, because Japan is called Nihon or Nippon, not Japan, where we're from. So, watashi wa yonbonichi, Nihonjin, yonbonichi, kokujin, hanbun, which means half, hakujin.
Hambo with it. Okay, I'm done. I think I'm calling this episode Hermaphrocat Kokujin.
Holy
he's
shit.
A black cat. He is a black hermaphrodite. It works.
I can't. Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard a story like that about a cat. Like
he's unique. There's only, at the time that we found out about him, I had only been able to trace about one other cat that was born like him in the UK at the time.
There's a comedian, Rob.
Should have sold him to Joe.
Fuck that. He's my baby.
So we're not having this conversation. We are not doing this right now. Y'all can listen to the last episode.
Like the fucking hermaphrodite.
Oh, God. So there's a comedian, Rob Mungo, who had a transvestite cat. And it was the funniest fucking story.
Transvestite is a person, a cisgender, who dresses like the other gender.
Okay, then I'm completely fucked up. He had a cat who had a sex change because the cat was gonna die otherwise.
Wait, what?
What do you mean he had a sex change? They just removed his genitals?
Yes.
So that's not a sex change, that's just a spay and a neuter.
Yeah, like he became a Munich.
No, like they took a Munich. I'll have to go back and
okay, let me explain. Dr. Charmaine's in the house, I'll help you out.
Oh God.
A neuter is when they remove the testicles and the internal reproductive organs of a male cat.
Yes.
A spay is when you remove the internal reproductive organs of a female cat. Revan had both male parts and female reproductive parts. They removed both, so they're still gendered, but they're sexless.
Did they charge you double?
Yeah, luckily. I was worried about that because it was two surgeries.
I'm glad we did the serious episode the last time around, because this would not have fucking fit with the shit we're doing now.
I mean, the show started with her Maffer cat, so we could only go up from here.
So, before we get into anything serious, I'm gonna talk about a subject that's near and dear to me and Brandon's heart.
Oh God.
Possibly Charmaine's, possibly Javi's. So, Brandon, who is your favorite porn star? What's your go-to search? Do we come back to you?
Look at Charmaine. Looks all ready. She's like, I got this. I'm gonna.
Yeah, you're gonna have to come back to me. That's a tough one.
Charmaine, you ready?
Yep.
All right. So, give me your favorite porn star and your favorite searches.
So I search exclusively for tribbing. Because I am a tribber.
What the tribbing. Fuck? Yo, wait, what is fucking no tribbing? I'm sorry, I don't really.
Okay. So tribbing is in lesbian sex, tribbing is when your clits rub together. So it's not scissoring. I'm demonstrating.
I was about scissoring. To say, like, scissoring?
Tribbing.
Tribbing. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. You go ahead, Charmaine.
So, I'm a bisexual woman. I describe myself as heteromantic and homosexual, meaning I prefer romantic relationships with men and sex with women.
Okay.
I am exclusively a tribber. I am not as, I guess scissoring is a possibility, but that's not the goal for me. And despite what you see in porn, not all of us go down on each other right away. You got to earn that shit. So, all of my porn searches are for tribbing. And even though I'm not attracted to the peach ones, Sinsage is the best tripper on the market.
Listen, I know nothing. What the fuck do you mean by peach one?
Caucasians.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Listen, I'm not really, I know, like, I'm not into porn like that. Like, I don't.
My husband is halfway and half Arabic and is very pale, I typically am not attracted to pale people. I prefer darker people. He's just the person I happen to fall in love with. But yeah, Sinsage is the best tripper in the market, and so I will Google search her even though she's white.
Okay.
Dude,
I've learned all kinds of new things today. Hermaphrodite.
Hermaphrodite. Tribbing.
Okay.
Sinsage. And it's Sin, S-I-N-N.
I got it. I'm in there.
Yeah, okay. I kind of think me and Charmaine have been like separated at birth or something. I might be like a quarter Japanese.
Are
as well.
You also a bisexual, heteromantic, homosexual girl?
No, I'm extremely cis male, but
extremely
I
cis.
Do. I don't know if I needed that qualifier behind it, but I am a cis male. But my go to porn search is Ebony Lesbians, right? And my favorite porn star is Pinky, especially the BBW Pinky. And I think tribbing, I've come to really enjoy that, like just watching that, because it seems like, honestly, like the most genuine orgasms that you see in a porno.
Yeah, if they're doing it right. The other reason why I don't particularly like the pale faces in terms of porn is because they tend to just like pop each other like this. Instead of actually rubbing, for the people who are just listening, I'm actually just restraining with my hands. And that shit, like, that doesn't work. Like, this isn't helping anybody with two clitorises in the room. No. That's not working. But that's how white porn usually is. So black porn usually gets in there a little deeper.
It's
more realistic. But that being said, tribbing-wise, Sinsage is the top of the market.
I'm like trying to. I'm trying to picture.
That's particularly why. Go ahead.
I'm gonna have to Google it. I'm like
Google it.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Just
and do that.
Go on Pornhub today and type in tribbing.
I'm gonna figure that later.
I suggest amateur for the same reasons I believe.
Amateur is better. Yeah.
Charmaine just explained because it's just more genuine. Like I hate like. You know, traditional porn with all like the fake
sounds
and all that other kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's
You want to be able to hear the bed creaking.
So the real question is,
and all types of stuff, man.
I'm showing.
The real question is, Javi and old man, are y'all into the new fad of the stepmom porn?
Yes.
Wait, what?
That's been out for a while.
I was going to say, that's been around forever.
But they even have stepmom porn for lesbians, too.
It's been a fad for a while, though.
I know
though.
It's fake, but I can't get into the family member porn. Like, I can't get into, like, oh, my cousin was masturbating. So, I like, anytime I see that description, like, I kind of, I don't know, man. I can't do it.
Fun fact. Not my mom.
What?
I don't give a flying...
Dude, they had the Pornhub rankings, and it was like 1 through 7, like all
like
of that.
Like pseudo incest is hella popular.
Yeah, all of it, yeah,
again,
even in erotica, like even in writing, people love pseudo incest.
Here's my thing about that. Let me, because Javi, we're gonna ask you. So we haven't gotten to my favorite searches. So here's my thing about that.
I can't take you.
I'm Pickle Rick. So here's my thing with all that. It's so me and Valkyrie and her niece had a conversation. We were talking about porn things or whatever, and the conversation came up of
my niece is a full grown adult. Like,
yeah, she's 25.
Just so you
she's
know,
25.
She's 25.
Yeah,
I just want to point that out.
Qualifier. I appreciate that.
Yeah. She's a grown woman.
I wouldn't be having this conversation with somebody underage. That's not my thing. So the conversation came up with threesomes. And
that's brave of you, old man.
Dog, relax. So we were talking about like threesomes or whatever. Not with us, but like, and I was so, and I was just like, could you have sex with two people of, like, two siblings? And they were both like, no. And I said, y'all are bugging. I'd fuck a set of twins. And they're like, that's nasty. They're related. And I'm like, not my sisters.
Yeah.
Not my sisters. That's what do I care for?
I've had sex with siblings, but not at the same time. One was to get the other one to stop messing with me.
Oh, God, I remember that
story.
Shit. Wait, what?
It's the worst thing I ever did.
So, I want to...
And she wouldn't... stop, like, I thought we were just fucking around. She thought we were dating, I guess. I thought that was a confusing to me because she had, like, a husband and stuff. I didn't think it was necessary. But then she showed up at my grandma's house once, and I was like, yo, like, my family doesn't know about me, so, like, this needs to chill out. And she wouldn't stop. And so I fucked her brother in her house, and that was how I got out of that relationship. It was the worst thing I ever did. It was 20 years ago. 20? It's 22 years ago.
Hold on. Let me give you a round of applause for that.
Yes.
Yeah. That,
yes. 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 Yes.
I also said the worst thing you ever say to a dude in that situation, and it wasn't because I was being mean. It was because I didn't know. I said the words, "You can put it in now." He was already.
That's fucked up. But honest, and I love it.
I didn't know. I didn't feel it yet.
Yeah. Oh, see, like, okay, so...
Yo,
but here's the problem, is that I'm mixed, right? I got a black ass, but my vagina is Japanese.
And what does that mean?
That's small.
Oh.
See, that's why I need to talk to Maria, because she's translating for me.
Yo, I have been... How, Charmaine... We've known each other for about like a year and a half, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
How long have I been saying you two need to have a conversation and she should just go on Mentally Mixed? And I'll just fucking leave. I don't want to be on the show. I will go sit in the fucking bedroom and let y'all fucking go at it. Because I swear to Odin, the two of you guys can have the best conversation ever.
We're quarantined, so we could do it.
Right?
What is it Brandon said? We got time?
We got time.
I mean,
I still have school.
I'm still
corona,
trying to process all the G shit that I just heard come out of this conversation right now. Like you get the gangster award of the century for everything that just happened in this past conversation. I just want to say that
about banging
siblings. Do we have that?
Yeah, we have it. That ain't going nowhere.
I like presents.
All right, word.
So
you're gonna get something in the mail,
huh? Oh, God, I'm scared.
She's going to get the... the G Shit Award in the mail coming soon.
That sounds like fun.
So wait, Obi-Wan, you didn't even talk about your porn sex. Whatever.
So my search is very depending on what I'm into. There are some. You know what's funny is I find that I like some porn stars that aren't even in my like wheelhouse. Like my wife loves to tell me that I have a type, and I do.
He does.
I do.
He thought I was Spanish. That's the only reason why he started dating me. Let's be serious.
You're Cape Verdean, though, right?
Right. Yeah, I'm Cape Verdean and white. My mother is white. My dad was like straight from Cape Verdean, like in my. Always, like, so the reason why he's always told me I need to talk to you is because literally I've always been mistaken as Spanish since as far as I can remember. My name is Maria. I mean, mm-hmm. I get it. But I've worked, like I said, I've worked in the medical field forever. So, like, they used to call me all the time to, like, translate and shit. And I'd be like, guys, I can tell him not to smoke in the bathroom. I can ask him if he wants some water or some food. Like, right. But... So, you're not getting that out anything else from me.
But see, Maria's selling herself short. It's not just that she looks Spanish. It's also this.
Big ass titties.
I can't fucking stand it. Yes,
I hate it. She disappeared from the camera. Come on.
Because I'm done with him already. So back to your type.
So it really all depends on like my mood. So, like, sometimes I feel like the old, like, 90s obsession, you know what I mean? The porn star obsession.
Okay.
Sometimes I feel like, sometimes I'm in a pinky mood, sometimes I go classic pinky, sometimes I go BBW pinky.
So, quick little fact, I know her a little bit, well, I've met her multiple times.
Cool, obsession of pinky.
I had a friend that knows her when I was younger.
Look at how quiet he's being while he's trying to reveal some truth.
Well, dog, tell him to come to the show. I want to talk. Yeah. I want to talk to Pinky. I want to do the show with her.
Can you give her my Twitter handle?
I don't know her like that.
They just came so thirsty as fuck, right? They were like, "What? Can you give her my info?"
No.
I used to be a club promoter when I was younger. I was a club promoter, so I met a lot of people. Indifferent.
Look, let me tell you, I am not looking. Okay, look, I'm aware of who I am and my body type. I can't handle Pinky. The fuck I look like?
Pinky won't handle you, bro. You be all right.
No. I've also gotten so like, it really all depends on like my mood and stuff like that. Like I've also found that like. There are some porn stars that really just go to work, and they're not necessarily, like, my type. Like, August Ames, I love her work, but she's not really the body type or the skin type that I normally go to, but I love what she does. So it really all depends on that, but if I had to go to search, I'm almost certain I probably almost always go Ebony. Yeah, either Ebony or Latin. Not even really Latin, like, yeah. Ebony Squirt is usually my go-to.
Oh, damn.
That's very specific.
I like what I like. What do you want from me?
I don't know.
Yo, oh, my God. Hold on. I know Javi won't know this.
Right?
Huh?
It's Javi's turn. I want to hear his besides the tripping thing.
Hold on. So here, I'm going to say something. Javi won't know this. Brandon probably won't know either, but you'll know this, Charmaine. Futanari. Oh, none of y'all?
I don't know that.
None of y'all know? Cool. So how?
Is it just because it's Japanese sounding?
Yes.
Also, Futanari.
Futanari?
Yeah, you don't pronounce the F.
Fun fact, Charmaine, I am very American.
I know. I'm just telling you. But I'm just finding it.
But it's good to know, though, like Hootenanny. So, Javi, what's your pick?
I'm a big fan of Ebony Amateur Lesbian in particular. I like my porn to look like it was shot on like an old ass like GoPro. Camcorder.
Like, in a random like the hotel one you used to hold on your shoulder?
Like, it has to look like it's been on a. Like a GoPro strapped to somebody's head. You know what I mean? Something like that.
He's running around with a dude from Gremlins 2.
Yeah, man. I just honestly, like, I don't know a lot of porn star names other than the ones that, like, I grew up watching, and other than Pinky, because, you know, yeah, I honestly like it to seem real. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like the really production heavy porn, right? It needs to be amateur, kind of gonzo ish, and like Charmaine said, yo, I really do enjoy watching tripping porn. Like that, if you're not on that, I don't know what to tell you. You're missing out.
Yo, can I tell you? I kind of appreciate the HD porn, and I do. It's because it's kind of clean. It's kind of cool, and you're like, all right, I can fuck with it.
No, too much. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you, need to something you should try. If next time you come and visit me, I have an Oculus Rift. And they have VR porn now.
What? Nah, dog.
No. And it's VR porn in 4K.
But we're watching porn for a purpose, right? Like, not to be too. I mean, we're talking about porn, so I don't know if I could be more like blue about it, but we're all watching porn for a purpose. Like, I feel like that's too much equipment. Like, all the wires and shit will get in the way. Like,
there's no wires.
This is a headset.
Just go on your head. Just go on your head like glasses.
So, Brandon. Brandon, I normally don't disagree with you with a lot of things, but allow Jalen Rose to explain to you how I feel.
Nah. I think you're not gonna be able to do it.
Yeah, I'm good on that.
You don't want to reach out and touch.
Good. I want to get. What's the phrase? Get in, get out, and get something. Like, I'm good.
Now here's the thing about VR porn. They have it in three different camera angles, right? I haven't watched it yet, but Mike told me about this, and I read about it.
I bet Mike is wearing a haptic outfit while he is on his Oculus.
When you're in VR, it said that you can either be like the man or the woman, so you can choose from their angle, point of view.
He was watching Black Mirror.
Or the woman, or you can be the cameraman, point of view.
Oh,
and just like walk around them and get closer and step back and all that type of
stuff.
For
voyeurs, that would be really appealing.
So wait, I have a question from like someone who's not like, obviously, I don't even know what the fuck y'all are talking about right now. I get the virtual reality thing or whatever. So as like an outside person looking in, how many people get pissed off about that? Like, is that considered like too far? Like where you're becoming the person that's like penetrating or receiving?
No, like all the big websites have it now. So like browsers, bankers, they all have like
too far, like where it's just like, I mean, personally, I don't give a shit what he does online or what he's spanking to or whatever.
Oh, you're talking about
like people in general. Like, I could
like if a straight guy decides to play the woman in VR,
or like in general, anyway. Like, you know how like some people are like against like their spouses watching porn. People freak the fuck out if you can virtually like fuck somebody else? Like, does that become like the fucking, you know, like technology like cheating? Like,
I'm sure they got their people that are weird about shit like that. But like, I mean, porn is
because the next evolution of VR is that you have more sensors and stuff on your body and you start to feel you're in VR. So I could see how someone could go there, but right now it's just you're looking. It's just up close porn, essentially.
Well, porn has always been a trailblazer with technology when it comes to like entertainment technology, VHS. Well, even before that, like just film. Then even before that, photography, film, VHS, DVDs. Like, porn has always been on the forefront of all that technology.
Yeah.
So if they're doing VR now and haptic feedback, I guarantee you, and like 5 years, we're going to be watching Avatar, you know, 5 in a full suit. You know what I mean? So, like, it's...
I hope we never watch Avatar ever again, actually.
What about sex robots? Does that cross the line?
That's what?
Sex robots.
Like the full-size bodies that you can fuck.
Oh, God, I remember that
episode.
Nah. I mean...
I honestly think sex is a fundamental need, right? And there are people on this planet that for whatever reason, sex isn't readily available to them. You know what I mean? I don't, for whatever reason, not judging them or whatever, but I think it gives them an opportunity, you know, to at least simulate what that feels like, simulate sex.
Well, what is it, though, for again, like a person like you, you're married, right? You have a wife, you have whatever. Yeah. Like, can someone like you have a sex doll? Like, would your wife okay with you banging a doll, and does that take away from you actually having sex with your spouse? Right? Because you can do whatever you want with the doll. Like, literally, you can do whatever you want.
We actually had an article on our show about this, because they were talking about, like, the complexities of which they're leaning towards sex dolls, where it's not just like a blow up doll. Like, it's like,
yeah, like they talk to you, like,
like all of that. And so then, the article was like, well, what happens when you give a sex doll artificial intelligence? So it's not just a doll, it's like an artificial intelligence robot.
Yeah.
So then at that point, does the sex robot have to have consent?
Yes.
It's a robot. It does need consent. I believe in AI. It's a person.
I agree.
So, like,
I
your sex robot can say no?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Because what happened is people were, like, abusing the sex robot, or the sex dolls that had a little bit of artificial intelligence programmed in. They were, like, physically abusing them, and they were starting to... speak on their behalf. Like, I don't want this happening. This is traumatic. And I mean, I felt in reading what the people were doing to the dolls, I was equally as horrified as if it was a person, because it's still showing you the nature of the person doing the act.
Well, yes. The article was talking about there's a catch-22 with that, because on one hand, they interviewed a bunch of psychologists, right? And they were kind of almost split down the middle in this. Because on one hand, they were essentially saying that, like, the invention of these sex robots could save a lot of real people from getting sexually assaulted, because those people can assert power over the dolls. And they've done studies on people. They were doing studies on people who committed sexual assaults. And they gave them, like, sex dolls, not as advanced as they're going to be, but relatively advanced sex dolls. And they were able to take out, like, their rape fantasies on the dolls. And not the people. And see, so, like, that part of the – they did studies on this. So part of the crew was like, that's a good thing. And then the other half of the people were like, no, that's a bad thing. Because if you give people this opportunity to exert this dominance over a doll, the next logical step is that they're going to want to do it on the person. Yeah. And so the psychology communities was like, the article was talking about how, like, psychologists are split on how that's going to affect that type of thing.
We turned Old Man Wade's fun porn question into another serious topic. You can't put Brandon and me together.
That's not serious.
I think it's serious. I think it's serious because it talks about the criminal minds of people and sexuality. Like, it can be pretty disturbing stuff that you hear.
Find that to be ridiculous. Oh, I forgot. You didn't ask. I didn't get to say who mine was. So it's three people.
Serious.
So yeah, it depends on my mood. So you got either Cherokee, Maserati,
classic,
or Diamond Jackson.
I don't think I know Diamond Jackson.
So wait, their names are what?
Cherokee.
Jackson's like 50 years old too, which is
weird. Stop it.
You said Diamond Jackson.
Yeah.
I don't think I know who that is. Oh! I still have no idea who that is. Oh my gosh, you know what she looks like? She looks like Dustin Rhodes' wife. No, Cody Rhodes' wife.
Brandy, yeah, she does look like Brandy Rhodes.
She looks like Brandy Rhodes.
Yeah,
so that makes sense. Yo, Charmaine, do you have a go-to porn star, someone like you, like, oh yeah, I go to her?
Well, like I said, I will look for Sin Sage if I want a really well done, a thoroughly fucked tripping video. I like to watch, but so I'm not really a voyeur so much as I am like a whatever the audible version of voyeurism is. Like, I'm really more turned on by sounds than the visuals. And so, like, someone like Skin Diamond, she's hella cute and everything like that, but she makes the most ridiculous sounds. So if I need to watch her, I have to watch her on slightly muted because her sounds are so stupid. Misty, what's Misty's last name?
Misty Stone.
Misty Stone, another one. I cannot hear that bitch talk. Mm-hmm. Like, she drives me crazy. Mm-hmm. And yet, she's exactly the kind of person I want to look at fucking. I just cannot hear her talk to people because she sounds so stupid. You know, but they're on my searches. I usually turn it down for them.
You know who the worst
That's why I used to like Mr. Marcus as a porn star. Because it seemed like the girls that he was were with, they were actually really into him. So
I can't
like
watch
his,
straight porn at all. Straight porn is gross.
Okay. I'm kind of with you on that.
It's weird.
I'm kind of with you on that. But like you, it's audio. It's the visual. It's everything. Kind of it has to feel genuine. It has to seem genuine.
Girls calling each other bitch in the middle of a scene like that don't work for me.
Seem real. It doesn't seem natural.
I'm not with the degradation of like anybody during my porn. So if I hear, like, yeah, suck that dick, bitch, I'm like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Like, what are we here for? We're here to enjoy ourselves. I won't be called bitch while I'm being fucked. You know, like, that's not a thing.
Okay. Well, like I said, there's certain male performers that don't, that really don't fall into that mold of, like, pseudo-abusive porn. Like, those are the only, like, straight performers that I can watch, but I'm really into, like I said, lesbian porn for some of the probably the same reasons that you are.
Do you know who the worst
interesting.
Is?
Wesley I wonder what Pipes, that says about me.
Wesley Pipes is the worst.
Wesley Pipes, that's an amazing name.
I think he's the reason why I'm not really that into straight porn.
He's also hilarious.
Okay. I'm not watching porn with my dick out looking for hilarious. Like, you know what I mean? If I want to watch hilarious, I'll watch the other guys. Like, you know what I mean? Eva Mendes is that. I'm not watching. Nah, dog. I'm good. Like, he
talks way too much, bro.
He's like, you know what it is? He looks like a dark skinned, annoying Sticky Fingers. Dog, he is the fucking worst. Like, I listen to him talk, and I'm like, dude. I'm like, look, it could be the baddest woman ever. I'm like, next. I'm good. I can't fucking do that.
He reminds me of that dude that still drives around like high schools after like he's graduated like 10 years later.
Yeah.
That's what he reminds me of.
Yeah, he does.
I love Brandon's laugh.
It's infectious. But dog, he is just like, I can't stand. He may be the worst of the worst. All right, let's get into a serious topic while we're here. Brandon. He may get the Go Fuck Yourself Award, but I'm actually curious to know how you all will feel about this. Brandon knows this guy, Braun Strowman. He's a WWE wrestler.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So I'll read the quote. Last weekend, there was a quote about him because everything going on with the coronavirus. A lot of wrestlers, especially independent wrestlers, they're not getting paid. Like, they don't have any gigs because, like, you know, their crowds of like hundreds and, like, you know, the interactions and stuff like that, they can't work. So Braun Strowman said, here we go with more of the somebody pay my bills stuff. If you can't afford to pay your bills, maybe you should change your profession. That's why I quit Strongman. I loved it, but I couldn't afford to live. So instead of making a GoFundMe or a Patreon, wanting someone else to take care of me, I went out and worked harder than I ever have in my life to get where I am. What happened to being accountable for your own actions? For anyone who goes, that's easy for you to say. You're a WWF superstar. Just FYI, 7 years ago, I love Florida. With everything I owned in a key, I left Florida. They just typo. I left Florida with everything I owned in a Kia Soul with $150 in my name when I started this. Here's the thing about that Braun Strowman doesn't get. He is a 6'7", 300-pound white man. Vince McMahon loves 6'7", 300-pound white men. He sucked for years. I would say, Brandon, it's like 2 years.
Yes, he sucked for years.
So he sucked for years, but they kept putting him on TV. They kept giving him
because they brought him up before he was ready because he was a 6'7", 300-pound jacked white man.
And he actually got the opportunity to develop, and they put him in matches with people who made him look good. So because of that, he ended up getting better. So for him to say things like, don't get me wrong, I'm not one of those people who's out here, like, I don't think you should be begging for money, but I don't think he realized that people who do Patreons, they're offering something other than just, hey, pay me for this and you get nothing else. A lot of them are offering discounts on merch, exclusive content, they mail pictures, they will follow you and interact with you more often than not. So it's not like there's tiers to this. Jordan Grace is one of those people who have a pretty
active... Faye Jackson.
Huh?
Faye Jackson.
Oh, yeah, Faye Jackson's another one. Like, so they offer things with that come with their Patreon. It's not like, hey, give me $5 to $100 and you get nothing of it. So for him to say something like that, it's offensive and really fucking ignorant from a big white dude where a lot of people who are way better than he are have been cut.
Well, the problem is independent wrestling is one of those things where it's for the love of it, because you're not going to make money even, like, independent wrestlers really don't make money regardless of the coronavirus. Like, they're performing in front of 50 to 500 people. Like, 500 people at an independent show is like a good show, like a really good, like, yeah, that's a good night for you. And so what's happening now is all their shows are canceled. So independent wrestlers get paid by the gig. So you show up, you have a booking fee, you wrestle your match. When you come back out, you get your pay for that night. And then you go on to the next show, and you go, and you book yourself on all these shows in your area. And then you hope, most of them hope that they get a look from one of the big companies and they get to try out and then they get a contract. Like, that's essentially how it works. And so now with everything being canceled, there are no shows. So a lot of those people are going to crowdfunding. Here's the thing. Taking Braun Strowman out of it, I get it. I understand why people would say that. But here's the thing. Not understand, but crowdfunding is just part of our society now. Like, that's just what it, like, that's just part of it. That's going to be part of it. And unfortunately, because we don't have a strong social safety net, not to get too political, but because we don't have a strong social safety net, if you are an independent contractor and you can't get gigs, what the hell else are you supposed to do? Like, it's not like in the coronavirus. Like, and other times you can say, well, you're not making enough money being a wrestler. Why don't you go get a quote-unquote real job, right? Or go work at the grocery store, or go work in an office. There's no stores to go work at now. Like, no one's going to bring you in for an interview now to go start work at your office building next week in the middle of a crisis. So they really don't have nothing else to do. So it's just,
you bring up, you also brought something, you said something that also popped something in my brain, where it's like, not only are they hoping that they'll get looked at, they also have to hope that the bookers pay them. Because this is, I look at independent wrestling like a lot like comedians. And a WWF would, or AEW would be like the Comedy Central or HBO or Netflix gig. You're hoping that someone, yes, will give you a contract for an X amount of shows and things like that. So a lot, mm-hmm, of these independent wrestlers, like when they do this gig, they give them 10 minutes of work, which doesn't seem like a long time. But that's 10 minutes of your body when you're like taking bumps. And fun fact, wrestling is scripted, but that shit does hurt. I trained for a year. It fucking sucks. Like, you know what I mean? So you're risking your life. You're risking permanent injury. And sometimes the booker is like, oh, well, we didn't make enough money, so we're not going to pay you. We can't pay you, either not pay you at all or not give you the money that we promised you. So you just spent 10 minutes and you took maybe a week off your life for something to not get any money of that. So for him to say something like that, and to your point, and even going further than someone saying we're not going to interview in a crisis, a lot of them are like, hey, I'm not going to interview you and have you within 6 feet of me, knowing that everything you touch could become a potential COVID-19 type of issue.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, and the general is just kind of nasty.
And they don't make enough money to have like this huge savings either. I mean, some independent wrestlers do make good deals. Some of them do. Like, some of them make six figures, but, you know, out of percentage-wise, 2% maybe make decent money. Like, probably about 7 to 10% make a living, like a legitimate living. Like, you're talking about 50,000 or more wrestling a year. And then out of that, probably 1 to 2% makes, you know, a healthy living, six figures and stuff like that, independent. Other than that, everyone else is, you know, they're getting paid – $75 a match, $125 a match. Like,
yeah,
so not, you wrestle, not, it's not that much. Six matches a week, you're getting $600-some a week. I mean, I guess you can live on that, but you're beating yourself up and driving from town to town to make that $125 a match. It's not a great life.
Charmaine, do you have a do you have a Patreon?
Yeah, I do. I have a Patreon for Militantly Mix, and then I have a Ko-fi account for Blurred Comics.
So you so you probably understand this probably maybe better than any of us. Like Brandon, I don't know if you have a Patreon, but you understand this probably better than anyone else that sometimes that like you know, that extra $5 just to kind of like I've thought about it a few times because it's like, you know, the $14, the $30 plus a month to hold SoundCloud and Podbean to host all the stuff, you don't realize it, but it's like, fuck, that's, you know.
It adds up.
Yeah, exactly. It adds up. And I'm lucky enough that, like, at the end of the year, I can charge, like, all my Comixology stuff to taxes because I do it for my writing gig that I get paid for.
Mm-hmm.
But for you, like, I don't know if that's tax deductible, so that shit does add up. So that Patreon does help.
It does help. So on Militantly Mix, I was actually a little bit above $300 up until recently, but I think partially because of coronavirus, it's dipped under. It's about $293 now, which is still amazing that people are able to contribute to the show right now, given what's going on. So what that's covering for me is it covers my hosting fees for Libsyn. It also covers my website fees for Squarespace and all that kind of stuff, my email accounts that I have for all the different shows. It stretches. And at times it allows me to buy swag and things like that that I can use towards the show. For Militantly Mix, I have a really supportive fan base. Like if I have a financial woe of some sort, they usually step in. When my computer went down, about $600 was donated for me to try to replace my computer, which I can't do right now, but I was able to get a iPad to kind of hold me over until I can get a laptop. But
damn, like they came, I wish you would have waited.
I know.
Didn't cut you off. Now the new iPad is like it's literally like a computer.
It was literally a week later that thing got announced. I was so upset, but you know, it is what it is.
Shout out to the Militantly Mix fans.
Yeah, Militantly Mix fans come through for me in a big bad way all the time. And so like for me, I know that despite the fact that the show can be expensive because I travel for it and stuff like that, things like that. When I've had travel and I've mentioned it, people have just dropped money into my PayPal to let me know that like they're helping me get my flight booked or whatever. Like I have a really supportive fan base for Militantly Mix. For Blurred Comics, on the other hand, like I don't know how to hit that market. Like, you know, so far people who have donated to Blurred Comics have been family or friends. And, you know, same type of thing. It goes towards the hosting fees and all that other kind of stuff. It's gone for gas money when we've traveled to cons and it's bought con tickets and stuff like that. But if I didn't have that money, I would have to stop my show right now. And back last year when I went through my unemployment bout, I would have had to stop the show too. But that's when people started coming through. When I started letting them know, like, oh, I'm probably not going to be able to do this for a while. I'm going to go on hiatus because I'm unemployed and this is expensive. I can't really keep it going. All of a sudden, I had money in the bank. You know, basically, it was coming every month. So it really does help for those of us that are gig workers. I am writing some of it up on my taxes because I also have a doing business as for Main Hustle Media. So some of it works and some of it doesn't. But for those of us that are content creators that are relying on this type of things, as we turn our podcasts into businesses, some of us, this is how we're surviving right now. If people are able to continue to drop money into our Patreons.
But on my OnlyFans account,
Harvey over there.
You should make one.
Harvey, you over there twerking titties?
Show
me. I have a friend that has one that makes $14,000 a month.
I'm gonna start like making some oxtail just butt ass naked. See if I can make some money doing that.
Hey, Harvey, just do me a favor, twerk them titties.
I bet you there's somebody that is for that. There's somebody waiting for that.
there's a kink for everything, right? There's a
kink for everything.
Yeah. Let me tell you.
How long have you had your Patreon, Charmaine?
For Militantly Mix, I started it right away, and I'd mention it on my show every time. And so for like the first year, I think I was up at about like $40 for the first year. And then last summer, when I started really getting, you know, my audience grew pretty big during last summer, I started to not challenge, but say, like, this month I want to make $100 a month. And so that was last August. And by the end of August, I got up to $100 a month. By September, I was like, I want to hit 200. By October, 300. And so I was trying to get to 500 by the end of December, but I maxed out at about 325. That's kind of where I maxed out. And I think as my audience grows, like, I don't hit big numbers on, I hit way less on Blurred Comics than I do on Militantly Mixed, but I get between, say, like 135 to 160 a download for Militantly Mixed. And for that amount of listeners, the fact that I'm making $300, I think is
no, that's huge. Like really, really, really good.
It's pretty solid. Like, I think ridiculous. Given my sponsorships that I get from my listeners, the fact that I have about 160 listeners and I'm getting $300, I think that's huge. With Blurred Comics, you know, like you, like I get somewhere between 35 sometimes. Sometimes I get 50. Sometimes, you know, it just depends on who I have on my show. Like when I had Vida Ayala, it hit bigger because they're a real person in the biz, you know. But when it's like me and Blur Vision just shooting the shit, a lot of our high school friends are listening to that show, you know.
Now, that's really good of you, because I never knew how to ask people. Like, I just never knew how to, like, just, I don't know, just say it or do it. So, like we get, like, our show, I think our show has been longer than both of y'all's shows.
Yeah, you've been out.
So we've grown quite a bit. So I probably could get something from Patreon, because we get like a few thousand every month. But I just never, like,
I just do
it. I don't know.
It.
I don't know. It's just felt weird. I feel like it's like one of those things where like you do good work. Cause like we do a lot of things, like we cover cons and stuff like that, but it's just always been weird for me. And then I was scared. You know, it was one of those, I guess it's one of those ego things that you got to get over, where mm-hmm. it was like, if I started a Patreon and then it was like $0, I'd just be like, so are these numbers fake, or is this like people just don't want to give? Like, what's going on? Like,
people
what's
don't
going
know to people? Give. People don't realize right. the benefit to it. And I'll tell I can say that for absolute truth, because I used to say at the beginning of the show, I would say, I have a Patreon page if that's something you're interested in. And I keep it going. And it's like, it's in the show notes if people care, whatever. And like I said, I managed to get up to like $35, $40 or something like that. And then most of those people were people I knew, though. In the time when I started to go to like, I want to hit $100 a month, I want to hit $200 a month, I would get people who would email me back saying, I'm so glad you mentioned this on your show, because I wouldn't know how I could support you otherwise. Like, you know, and that's been real. Like, so I've gotten emails from people that say, like, do you make money doing this? And I'm like, not really, but I have a Patreon in case people want to sponsor me. And like, oh, okay, I can give you money now. So I like in terms of my audience, like,
you do make money, because most people make nothing. Like, yeah. People with way more listeners than you get zero, nothing,
and
it, zilch.
I think it's because they don't ask, and they're not, they're, it's
they
not
don't
just
have a
that
connection
they don't ask.
With their fans.
That's it. So most of the people in the case, especially in Militantly Mixed, which I can tell from the difference between my Militantly Mixed audience and my Blurred Comics audience, and even when I was doing Black Furious, which is on hiatus right now, people tell me on Militantly
your,
Mixed, like,
your name game is ridiculous. I'm sorry. names of
I do. I do like
Blurred Force. It's pretty good.
So with Militantly Mixed, the thing is, I tell them what's happening in my real ass life. Like if shit is going bad at work, or if I'm about to lose if like my job was getting really bad last year, and I started talking about like I need to get out of this job so bad, and I in a desperation, I jumped ship and went to a different job really fast, and then that second job didn't work out. So then I was just unemployed. I was telling everybody what was going on in my life, and I'm not saying that I was doing that for the sponsorship, but what happened was because I was doing it, people were like, how do I help you? Because I want this to be your real gig. If this is what you want to do, I want to help you get there. And I talk about it like I do. I want to exclusively be able to do the podcasting and my comic book stuff over any jobby job. And so me telling people that that's what I wanted to do seems to be the difference between me making money and me not making money. Whereas I produce a show who has a way bigger audience than my shows combined, and they don't get that much on their Patreon. And when they do mention it, they mention it in kind of a way that is like, you know, it's there for you if you want it. But I think what's important about talking about your Patreons and stuff like that is that we used to live in a society where people patroned your work. If you were a Smith, if you were an artist, if you were, you know, you had sponsors, people that would look after you and pay your bills so that you could do your work. Then that went away because we all had to earn our own money.
Can I give a little illustration of how much that's changed? So I can be scrolling my timeline and I see an article like, the five things you need to do to avoid COVID-19, right? Like, very important information. I'll click on that. It's like New York Times. It's behind a paywall for like a couple of cents. I'm like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
No, I don't need to know the information. 5 cents, you're crazy. Like the world is definitely changing.
Let's say it was someone you knew though who wrote the same article. Yep. And you know, let's say it's Old Man Wade. And it's like, you know, I know Old Man Wade. I know I could get the article for free. He's my boy. I could reach out to him and be like, you know, run me that article. But because he's my boy, I might drop that 32 cents tick if I know it's going to go to him. So I think it's
a... You need to put Bam Smack Pal behind a paywall. You can just drain all your friends for money because we got you.
You know, like I think, like I've had people actually reach out to me and say, I want to support you, because in the mixed race community, it hasn't been things for us, like as a community. Usually you're looking for your tribe, right? So you're thinking, if I'm black and white, I need to find a black and white group. Or if I'm, you know, Asian and black, I need to find an Asian and black group. But honestly, as a mixed race community, we have a lot in common regardless of what our ethnic backgrounds are. So me pressing record in July of 2018 was the difference between someone feeling isolated in Idaho being mixed or feeling like they had a community. And that's why my show grew, is because first they needed it. And then they're like, oh shit, this could go away if someone doesn't help you pay for it. Here's some $5 a month. Here's $10 a month. I actually have a couple of sponsors that hit me at $50 a month. Damn. And it's because they care. They know I'm being honest when I talk to them. And more than that, I cut my wrist open and I'm showing them all my blood. Like, they know what's going on in my life. And that is what draws them to stick with the show.
So you're saying there's a market for black political nerds that enjoy tribbing porn videos?
Yes.
Y'all
need to reach out to Bang Bros, and so they can give you a little thing to play before your show, and they'll pay you some money, and you play it right before the show. You pay, like, use the Old Man Wade promo code and get a free 3-day trial at Bank Bros. Because y'all talking about porn.
I like that synergy a lot. Oh man, we need to get on that.
I'm just saying, like, the most important aspect of anything we do, regardless of whether, like, we're deep into geekery or we're political, whatever, like, whatever the thing is, somebody cares. But they need to know that if they rely on you for that information, that you need their support to keep it going. And that's that's the thing, is like, I tell people, like, when I'm hurting or when I'm happy, and people like that. Like, that's it. Like, it's not been hard. It's just been me trying to be more vulnerable, which I'm very uncomfortable doing in real life, but I've been working on it throughout the last couple of years. And I swear, the more earnest I am, the more honest I am, the more people flock to me or tell me, oh, I told this person, they're probably going to reach out to you. Yo, and then boom, that person reaches out to me.
I have been opening my heart and embarrassing myself for almost 3 years, and I ain't got a motherfucking dime. You know what?
But see,
I'm going to give you some inside baseball.
I have talked about almost getting a finger in my butthole when I didn't want one. I brought
what
up.
I'm saying is, listen, I'm telling you, this is how it happened for me. I reached out to my friends on Facebook in the beginning, and I was like, I know not all of you are mixed, but I know you know somebody mixed. Can you share this episode with your mixed friend? And then
What episode, what friend is old man supposed to share the finger in his booty hole episode with?
Dudes that need to get their prostate exams. Be like...
What? don't listen to Old Man. Like, so we do funnel, and I think, like, I would suggest this to anybody that creates, right? Like, find a way to fit your audience through a single space as much as possible, so it you're able to kind of count how many people that are actually listening to your content or using your content. And you can use that, you know, for advertisers or whatever. You can use that data. You can try to monetize that. We do get, especially on our website, I would say monthly, we get over 1,000 people that visit the website. I would say, like, especially when we're active on it. The issue is finding ways to monetize our audience. And I think, Charmaine, you dropped a lot of knowledge when it comes to, you know, taking advantage of your existing audience. And I think that for me, and I know Old Man, he pretends like he doesn't know what he's talking about most of the time, but he definitely does.
You sure?
I think we're definitely. I think so sometimes. Like, there's no steam coming out of his ears right now, so I'm pretty sure he's good at the moment.
Well, also with, like, asking them, like, what kind of stuff would y'all like? Like, I've asked about my swag and stuff. I'm like, if I made stickers, would y'all be into that?
Well, hold on. First of all, both of y'all are way more professional than most podcasts. Like, Charmaine edits her stuff, like, really edits podcasts. Yeah, Old Man Wade has an intro. You got, like, cool fan art. Like, y'all do good shit. It's just, you know.
I talk a lot of
shit. People need to find it.
I talk a lot of shit, but I actually do go in and, like, edit stuff, and I take timestamps and things and stuff like that.
Y'all do, like, real professional shit.
And shout out to my homeboy, Kenny. Who I used to work with him. He's a real cool dude. He's a buddy of mine, and he gave me a couple of ideas that I'm actually gonna try with this upcoming episode. But like, so I'm trying new things, and I guess I am. If this may shock you, I may be slightly bitter. I may be a bit stubborn, and I may be a bit of a cunt and an asshole sometimes. I can be, but like, it's very frustrating when I hear someone else's show and I go, your show is fucking garbage and you have sponsors.
Yeah.
Everyone goes through that, but you also got to remember, we got into this really late. So, like, the sweet spot of getting into podcasts was like 08, 09, 010. If you got in 2010, if you got in around there, like, and you have decent content, it's a good chance you're doing pretty well right now off your show. But by the time we got into the game, the market was already saturated. So there's going to be two types of people. It's going to be people who already have a following when they come into podcasts, and then they're going to be able to monetize it. And there's going to be everybody else. And then there's going to be the very few people who have, like, a really, really great show, and then they blow up. But they're like, you know, it's just like anything else. You can have LeBron James who come in at any time in basketball. He's going to be great because he's LeBron James. That's not an indication of that anybody could be LeBron James, right? So the other thing I'll say to you is don't be afraid to reach out. Like I told Charmaine this like 6-7 months ago. Like, we started reaching out to cons for press passes 4 or 5 months after we started the show.
Yeah,
we
barely had any lists. I didn't have the confidence to do that.
And we would reach out and apply for press passes, and we got denied a few times, and then we started getting approved. And then I started going to cons, and Mike started covering cons, and then I would go to film festivals. And after you start doing them, then other ones take you serious. And so now almost anything that I apply for, I don't pay for anymore. Like, when I go to these cons, I don't pay for any of them, ever. I just apply for press for the show. They send us press. They say, how many press passes do you need? I say, oh, Devin, are you going to go? No. Mike, you're going to go, yeah, okay, I need 2. Or like, I'm not going to be in Austin or D.C., I'm in Dallas. So I applied for press. They said, how many press passes do you need? I said 3. Mike, Devin, and he's going to bring somebody else to be a photographer. Boom, they got press passes and they go. Like, it's the same thing with other stuff like that. Like, whatever what you want to do on your show, don't worry about the number of listeners you have. If you're trying to get, like, some big payday, yeah, that matters. But if you just want to start, don't worry about it. Just say, yeah, I'm going to shoot my shot anyway, and just tell them what you're doing. And oftentimes people will just be like, oh, all right, yeah, sure, cool.
I took that advice from Brandon, and then I got my flight and hotel paid for Calexicon. Of course, Calexicon got canceled due to COVID, but I took that shot because Brandon told me to take that shot, and I got travel paid for. Like, I'm not even on a panel.
Oh man, imagine it. Super Woke and Old Man Wade live from the AVN Awards.
Oh, that's right. We talked about this on my show one time. We were doing a review of Insecure, and one of the girls from the Two Woke Girl podcast, Lauren, was like, we should all take a podcast trip and go to Exotica and cover it on all of our podcasts.
What's Exotica?
We should do that. But y'all are the ones who are in the industry, because y'all talk about that shit a lot. So I'm about to send in your podcast so we can get press to go
the
cover
the other thing that I think we need to do as blurbs is that, like, my thing got so much more rich once I hooked up with Brandon. Like, when Stephanie from Mocha Minutes introduced me to Brandon and them, like, I all of a sudden had more access to, like, our crowd, the people that like us. You know, like, I got to see and listen to Brandon's show and be like, oh, okay, this is the kind of, this is my tribe. I just hadn't found my tribe yet. And so, and Blurred Comics was, like, just barely starting at around the time that I had met Brandon. And then through them, I met you. And I know, you know, there's a couple of, there's like a handful of us that are like blurred podcasters. We talk about the same kind of geeky shit. And I don't think about anything I'm trying to do that I don't email you guys and ask, hey, are you guys doing this too? Brandon and I have met up at a couple of cons at this point, you know, because of it. And it's not like we're in competition with each other. We're helping each other. We're hyping each other. We want to do it together. I think that raises us up too.
And reach out to people. Like, y'all talk, I'll be joking about the porn thing, but like, if you wanted to talk to Pinky, just send her a DM. Just be like, hey, we do a podcast. We talk about porn stars a lot. You want to come on and talk to us about your career? She'll probably say yes. Like, more than likely, she'll say yes. And you have an hour just to kick the shit with her. Mm-hmm. And then that's just how it works. Like, we've had all types of people on our show. And then because of that, like, I've been able to go on people's shows whose audience is way, way larger than mine. Like, Old Man Wade knows, like, the PW Torch and the Wrestling Observer are big in wrestling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like, I've been on both. I'm not a wrestling insider. I just know people. I just became friendly with people on Twitter who work for both of those places, and that they've came on my show, and they're like, hey, you want to come on my show and talk some wrestling? Yeah, sure. So I go in there and talk wrestling, and those people come and listen to my show. It's like, one of those things.
Well, it's funny, because Javi's seen me do this, and so is Valkyrie here. It's like, when I'm in a we went to Rhode Island Comic Con, not last year, but the year before. And they start talking to people and get introduced. And now once I'm in, I'm like, like, once I'm in, I'm good. Like, I can talk to people. I'm fine. I'm happy. And I can get in there. But I always feel weird initially getting, like, yeah, jump. Same. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But once I
That's why I have Blur Vision. Oh, because he's tall and gorgeous and beautiful, and even guys like to see him coming towards him because he looks like a big old football player.
True. Can you tell him?
I send him up to a artist alley. I'll send him up there. He starts the conversation, and then as soon as they ask a serious question, he looks at me, and I'm like, "Hi, I'm his co-host, Charmaine." I need Blur Vision to do that for me, because I'm that.
He does look like a Greek guy. He looks like a brown Greek guy.
Hobby's that guy for me, like, because like we get, it's funny because a lot of the faults that I have, he like immediately fills in all those gaps, phrasing before you say it. like,
nice.
So you know what I mean? So when we went to Comic-Con, we met a lot of people just from like him being like bold enough to go into it. And then like once he gets the conversation started and he'll be like, "Oh, we do this," and he's the host, then it's like I get an in. Because like Hobby's just that good. Like Maria is like my greatest supporter, publicist, hype man ever. Because she'll be the first one to be like, so when she talks about like my job, she doesn't say, "Oh, Mark works security." She goes, "Old man works security. Old man's a writer." So like it's
I remind him all the time. I'm like, "You get paid to do this. You get paid to do this. Like that's your job."
I tell him that all the time too. I say
you and I have had conversations. Yeah. And
when people ask me what my husband does, I'm like, "Oh, he's a writer, but he also works security at..."
Damn it, Wade.
Sorry, you're gonna have to edit that.
Damn it.
That's so close. I'm sorry.
Beep.
But I'll say, you know, he does, you know, police and security in a hospital as well, but his main career is writing. Like, because he's
also
a writer.
Always pimp your shit. like they're saying. Like, always tell people this. Like, I talked, like I said this on our show the other day. Like, I listened to the last podcast on the left. They do ridiculous. They have like 75,000 Patreons, like something crazy like that. Like, they're doing incredible. They're also really talented at what they do. But when you talk to them, like, when you hear them talk, like, Marcus will be like, every time I take an Uber in New York City, I tell my Uber driver to go listen to my show. Like, they have 75,000 Patreons, and they're still, like, pimping it to Uber drivers. And when they go get fast food or go to a restaurant, and it's just like, because people make small talk with you. Like, that happens to all of us. People make small talk with you, and you just be like, instead of saying what you really do, because nobody gives a damn if you're like, I do web development, or I was an event manager. Nobody gives a shit if I'm an event manager. That's not anything to talk about. If I say, oh, I'm a movie critic, they'd be like, oh.
Yeah,
oh,
I always say I'm a podcast producer. Like, I go places and look, I got postcards. I will drop a postcard as somebody else. For Blur Comics, I got these stickers. I will drop stickers somewhere. Military Mix, I got stickers. I tell them, you can put it on your water bottle. Like, I'm hawking wherever I go. Like, I'm telling people.
This so his first year he went to Comic-Con for, like, another company or whatever, I said that to him. I was like, get business cards for your own shit. Like, they're paying you to be there. They're paying you to interview these people. But you can hand out your old man Wade, like, name on the card, all your information, like, whatever, while you're there. Like, pimp yourself. I tell them all the time, I will go with you to any con, any group gathering, and I sell him all the time. Okay, yeah. Oh, have you met my husband? He's a writer. He's like, you know, he's this. He's great. He has a podcast. It's called Old Man Wade. Like, we joke a lot about, like, life and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, sorry.
My
niece is done.
I can get the t-shirt.
I think the t-shirt goes
But you know what's funny about
you can go to, a lot of people. You can go to T-Public and set up a T-Public page. It won't cost you anything. One. Just have some cool designs. And people will just find it and be like, oh, your design is cool. I had a shirt So I made some money a while back. So I had a shirt that I designed. And it was just the basic. So when, oh, man, you remember when they did all new, all different Marvel? And and Sam Wilson became Captain America, like, the first time?
Unfortunately.
So,
that was cool, man.
So you hating on Black Captain America now?
I'm hating on the way they went about it.
See,
I thought
we're gonna have to argue about that with another episode.
we need Brandon on CCBN. We need a CCBN
It was a great idea. I was gonna say this. It was a great idea. It was long overdue, but I thought the execution was fucking terrible.
See, we're gonna have to school him, Javi.
No, you're not.
Yeah, voice
your opinion and be
facts.
Wrong.
That was a few years after, like, Jeezy had that song, My President is Black, right?
Yeah.
So I made a t-shirt, and it was like the Captain America logo, but because it was Falcon, I just did some clip art wings on the outside of the Captain America shield, and then under it, I put, My Captain America is Black, and I put it on T-Public. People bought that shit. And then it got taken down because of copyright. But I still made some money.
But you know what's funny about that is I have no problem pimping out my, like, writing. I tell people all the time, like, I'm a writer. I honestly think I'm a better writer than I am a podcaster. But, like, that, like, you know what I mean? But, like, it's one of the things you will and will not promote, which we're over time. So I this is something we can talk about at another time. But I think,
sorry.
Yeah, we did it again.
Well, man, before you end it, I just want to say, like, this advice, everything that we heard today, I think is super relevant, especially for the situation that I think a lot of people find themselves in today. Like, a lot of people, they're furloughed, they're laid off. Like, you know, in moments like this, if you have the opportunity to create something on your own, right? Make sure it's something that you love doing, one, right? Make sure it's something that you're passionate about, that you would do even if it's not making you money. Mm-hmm. But if you're able to do it, try your best to monetize it and create those streams of income, because, like, we're learning this today,
this day by day, that, you know, money.
What's up?
I said, trust me, this shit ain't making me no money.
You're ridiculous.
Stop. No. But, I mean, here's the thing. Like, listen, I call my company Main Hustle Media. I do say M-A-N-E because that's the way I spell my name. But my mentality behind me calling it Main Hustle was that I wanted to turn my side hustle into my main hustle. That is going to be the goal that remains the goal. So regardless if I work HR during the day or I work a comic book shop on the weekends, my main hustle is me. And a big part of me is this podcasting now because my voice is out there and my voice is talking about things that are important to me. And it just so happens that it's important to some other people too. So with that mentality in mind, Main Hustle Media is my main hustle, regardless of it's the least paid hustle that I have.
Yeah.
I'm and just we all watch anime. So I can do that.
We all watch anime, right? We're all at the age group where we probably grew up watching a lot of Dragon Ball Z, right? And you guys know, like, in Dragon Ball Z, when Goku gets serious, you realize that he was wearing, like, 80, like, 100 pounds of weighted clothing or whatever, right? Wasn't like, that, I feel
was,
that's where...
I thought that was...
That's where we are. Like, I thought that was... honestly... What the fuck is his name was, that? Say that again, old man?
I thought that was Naruto.
Naruto didn't have... Rock Lee and Naruto, but...
Yeah.
In Dragon Ball Z, it was, like, most of the Z fighters did that. But anyways, that's really geeky. But anyways, I would say, like, for us, for Old Man Wade and myself, this is, like, a super, like, hobby for us. Like, I feel like at this point, we're probably putting in 20% effort relative to what we can do when we're ready to do it. And I think that all we really need to do is just put in a little bit more effort, take the words of wisdom that we got from Charmaine and Brandon to heart. And not just us, again, anybody who wants to create and find ways to live off of the things that they're creating or try to live off the things that they're creating or even make a couple of, or even make a couple of bucks off the things they're creating. Like, I'm really feeling the advice you gave us, man. And
it's appreciated too.
It's golden. I think it's golden. Thank you so much.
Happy to do it.
So this has been the Old Man Wade Show. I want to thank Mixed Girl Maine, M-E-T-H-O-D, Maine, Auntie Maine, Maine Fury. Charmanuel L. Fury. I had one for you, too, and I couldn't remember what it is. Thank you for coming on. Shout out where you are and where they can find you.
You can listen to Militantly Mixed or Blurred Comics on all of the podcatchers, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and follow me on Instagram and Twitter on all those same things, Militantly Mixed and Blurred Comics. Or if you want to follow me personally, that's Mixed Girl Maine, M-A-N-E.
Brandon, where can they find you?
Find me on Twitter, that cool black nerd, B-L-K. Why So Serious Podcast, all them same places. Just check it out. Tell me if it's good. If it's not, pretend like it's good and still leave me a review.
Yeah, do me a favor. Argue with him via politics. He will embarrass you. Javi, where can they find you?
Again, you can find me on the Old Man Wade page on Facebook, oldmanwade.com. We did a shout out the last episode, so I'm going to do that now. CCBN, Comic Book Culture. On blackrabbit.com, Old Man Wade Super Woke. We get into our comic book bag. We really need Brandon on there, Charmaine as well, because I didn't know you were a Star Wars nerd. And
nerd,
that would be, you know, that's close to my heart.
You didn't see my Snuggie this whole time?
Okay, you got the Darth Vader Snuggie? Oh, yep. Okay. I see you. And then pretty soon, I'm working on it. You guys definitely motivated me to talk about this Poly Bon Bon. It's going to be a political entertainment website plus podcast where we get into politics, try to teach people something, even if they don't know it. I want it to be funny. And also on Twitter, sorry about this, Let Shit Record on Twitter. You can find me on there as well.
You can find me, Old Man Wade Com, OLDMAN. OLDMANWADECOM on Twitter and Instagram.
Oh, man, had a little bit too much of the juice.
And I'll be able to, And I'll be having more if I have to watch
fucking Alzheimer's kicking in.
If I had to watch fucking Tiger King or whatever.
Tiger King!
I'm making him watch it.
Yeah!
I'm making him watch it. It's happening.
God. So you can find me on there. You can find me the same place you find Super Bowl Coffee on the Old Man Wave Show. Hit the like button. We're fun. We don't talk about a lot of seriousness unless things get too thick. We're trying to keep our corona jokes down to a minimum because this is a serious situation. That's all I got.
Old man won't let me post most of my corona jokes.
Motherfucker, you should see all the stuff that I make him and Valkyrie are like, do not post that.
Yeah, he'll send it to us and we'll be like, nah, no, you can't send that.
The stuff that I said, I'm like, can I post it? They're like, no.
No.
Funny.
Valkyrie, where can I reach you?
On the couch. Ass. Plastic. Ass.
Damn it, Wade!